This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. Ereranga, you're fine at all. Hello, kia ora. My name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today on the show, I have Amanda all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. Amanda, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I really like what you talk about, and there's a lot of stuff going on there with the body and the mind. And what I really noticed was what stood out for me that you have on your YouTube channel is you talk, you say that you are a suicide survivor. Would you like to go into that and how you took on that label for yourself?
Yeah, so a lot of people have asked that, and I've got chided a little bit for it on YouTube here and there. And I stand by it because I want other people to know that there is another side to that pain. And I spent decades of my life in this mindset where I was just so crippled by hopelessness and symptoms of depression and addiction that I just didn't know how to go on. And this culminated, I was on a trip in Quebec, Canada, and I just absolutely felt like I'd tried everything, I'd done everything, and I didn't know a next step. And I just needed the pain to end. I could not fathom it anymore. It was just so overwhelming. I couldn't fathom it anymore. And I was on the ledge of my hotel room. I climbed up on the ledge and I was looking down, and I had accepted that this was the end. And I was sitting there thinking, or standing there thinking about my friends and about my son. And that's a really huge misconception of people who don't understand what it's like to be in that position or in that mindset. Is people will often say, well, think of your family. I was thinking of my family. I was thinking of my friends. And in my distorted mindset, I thought that this was what was best for them. And in that second, as I was about to jump, the cleaning crew turned on their music just outside of my hotel room window. And it was Breaking the Habit by Linkin Park, which blew my mind because this is the only thing I really would have listened to, because this band had helped me through so much. And Chester, the lead singer, his story had helped me through so much. And I had really struggled after he lost his life to suicide. I'd really struggled. And it was just so poetic, especially because I was in a French-speaking province. And I had been there several days and I hadn't heard hide nor hair of anyone at all. There was no music. There was no people in the halls there. I didn't even know we had a cleaning crew, to be honest with you. So the fact that in this exact moment, they turned on their music right outside my door, and my door wasn't at the end of a hallway or right by an elevator. It was literally in the middle of the hall. So why did they just turn on their music right there in that exact moment and start cleaning? It was very weird, but it wasn't weird. It was serendipity. But I just realized in that moment, I can't do this. And I fell inside, kind of collapsed on the floor and just started sobbing. And I had to fall apart. I really just, I was hurting, but now I know I can't do this. And I really just needed to start processing what was really going on.
Yeah, it's amazing how, I mean, for me, music has always been something that has given me some type of meaning and purpose. It's always brought me great joy, and it's amazing how, I mean, and it's not bound by language. There's rhythm, there's beat, and there's something that connects us all in music. And it's amazing how you got brought back to some sort of sense of yourself through that song, of all places. Where you were. And yeah, it sounds very similar. So I've got a history of depression and suicide as well. And my sort of first quote-unquote attempt was standing on a overpass on a highway. I was there for 2 hours, and eventually I walked back home. But yeah, it's very similar to you. A lot of thoughts going through and pain. And but yeah, I don't know what it was for me that turned me around. I think it was family, and yeah. So
once you can see past the symptoms and what that shadow in your head, that's what I call it, my shadow. Once you can see past what the shadow is trying to tell you, that the shadow, the depression symptoms are you're not good enough, you can't get over this, there's no solution, you're a burden, everyone would be better off without you. These are thoughts that are going through your head, but your mind has been distorted. And clearly that's not true. And if you can just catch a tiny glimpse of the other side of that, that's all it really takes to turn you around. And this certainly wasn't my first suicide attempt. This happened in 2018, and I had several in my teen years and my early 20s as well. Fortunately, I have not had any others really since. I have struggled here and there for sure, but I haven't had any other attempts. I have been in recovery for self-harm and cocaine since June of 2018, so things are really going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, my first one was when I was a teenager as well. I mean, when you're a teenager, the world's a really weird place. It can be awesome, but it can also be very scary without the right guidance. So, yeah.
And that's the problem, is we're not teaching our youth how to cope with intense emotions, how to cope with stress. If they're having symptoms of anxiety or depression, how to manage that. We don't teach our youth any skills for coping with these things other than, well, suck it up and do your homework. Well,
yeah.
You never know what these kids or teens are dealing with outside of school. So they could be having a rough home life. They could be stacked with so much work that they don't know how to manage it all. They could have an underlying disorder that makes it harder for them to deal with stress and anxiety. But at the end of the day, we really need to be teaching some kind of skills to our youth, like at age appropriate times, to be able to function at their optimal mental health. And to top that off, most parents aren't really advocating a lifestyle for their children or teens that is conducive to optimal mental health. Because if you're not getting the nutrients your body needs, and I know you know this, then you're not going to be able to function at your optimum capacity. And you are going to be more susceptible to symptoms of anxiety, symptoms of depression. If your vagus nerve is all out of whack because your digestive system is all out of whack because you're eating crap and you have this terrible lifestyle, that will come out as symptoms of anxiety and depression.
Yeah, our education system in the West, our whole society in the West is very external focused.
Yeah.
It's all about what's happening out there, study out there, learn out there. It's not, but really what we need to be teaching our children and ourselves as a society is what's happening inside, what's happening in here. How can we integrate the inside with the outside so those can work together, and how we can integrate with other people and their insides as well. But that's not taught at all. It's very sad.
No. So we have kids that are hooked on McDonald's and caffeine and have phone addictions, and it's insane because all of these things are going to affect their mental health. And I know there's been an uptick in depression and suicide rates amidst the youth. And I think a large part of that is social media and the prevalence now of that connection on the online world. It makes it much easier for people to bully without being in the presence of an adult. So if you're at school, you kind of have that mindset of, oh, the teacher's right over there. But if you're online, it's nobody is around. I can do whatever I want. And there doesn't seem to be really any repercussions for that. And additionally, you have people that are now constantly comparing their behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reel, thinking, look, this person got this, and look how many likes she got on Instagram. And you have no idea what this person is really going through on the other side of that screen. It's just very fake. It's like a Potemkin village that you're looking at this beautiful life, but you don't know what's really behind it. You don't know what is really holding it up.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I do disagree with some people that talk about the rich and the poor, the white and the black, and this and that. Yeah, on the surface level, there's this thing that's different from you, but really deep down, every single human being on this planet goes through the same pain, the same suffering, the same joy, the same pleasures, you know, so we're all the same on the inside. If we can connect to that similarity, the thing that connects us, I mean, the world would be a much better place.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because one of the things I do on my YouTube channel is interview different celebrities about their mental health journeys. And one of my personal favorites was my one with Billy Bob Thornton, because Billy Bob Thornton, pretty much everyone knows his name. The guy is uber successful, millionaire, has everything. You know, he's married to Angelina Jolie, who is this woman that so many people find beautiful. He has the money and the quote unquote power, all of that, but he still struggles with panic attacks. He still struggles with these symptoms. He still has to manage his own mental health. And when you realize that somebody who seemingly has everything, and there's a lot of artists like this who obviously struggle with their mental health. And that's why we lose people like Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington, is because when you don't manage those symptoms or you're not coping in an effective way, and you do get to that place where you have everything, you know, you have the money and the power and the women and the cars and whatever, and you realize that there's still something missing in you, and you realize that you're still going to struggle. A lot of people can't really cope with that. They really can't come to terms with the fact that, well, this is where I wanted to go and I got here, and now what? Because I still feel these things that I was avoiding, that I was trying to mask.
Yeah, we're taught that happiness is somewhere out there. So we go out there and we find quote unquote happiness, but it's not real. It's fake. I mean, we still feel empty inside.
Yep.
Yeah. On your website, you say happiness takes balance. If you treat your body well, but mistreat your mind or vice versa, you will still find yourself in a state of dis-ease. How do you personally look after your body and your mind?
It is really important for me to make sure that I am getting a balance of actual nutrients, because again, if you're not doing that, if you're eating processed food that's causing inflammation in the gut, then that sends signals up through the vagus nerve into the brain that something's wrong, and that will start coming out as anxiety, depression. And
yeah, a lot of people don't realize there's more information going up towards the brain from the gut and the heart. About 90% goes up to the brain and only 10% comes from the brain down to the body. So absolutely, there's a lot of information you're telling your whole entire body from what you eat.
Yes. And so I try to eat foods that are anti-inflammatory. I stay pretty natural. There's a couple things that I indulge in sometimes. Yeah. Like there's this vegan chicken that I like to put on my fajitas sometimes, things like that. But for the most part, I tend to stay very clean with my nutrition regime. I don't obsess when it comes to fitness. And that's one of the things I teach in my Happiness Boost course, is that everybody can get the benefits of the physical exertion without exerting yourself to the point of going, oh my God, I don't want to watch this Insta trainer that's giving me another workout. I don't want to go to the gym and work out for an hour. And that is A-okay. There's plenty of things that every person can do that can really engage those benefits. So that's very important to me. But a lot of the aspects of my lifestyle, it is important that I manage my nutrition and just staying active. But a lot of the aspects of my lifestyle that I found most conducive to moving through those intense symptoms are mental, are internal. And the food, the yoga, whatever it is, those things are all external. And those are their skills, their tools for sure. But if you don't work through those limiting beliefs in your head, if you can't see your own worth because you're surrounded by people that are constantly tearing you down, or you're constantly in social media where you're comparing yourself to other people, if you have these habits or you have these thoughts and these mindsets that are damaging to you, you can eat all of the organic, grass-fed, vegan, gluten-free, what are the other words these days that the kids are using?
Organic, free range, pasture raised. Right.
Yeah. You can have this food that's been blessed by every monk on the planet. And if you are filling your head with all of this toxic sludge, it's not going to do any good. It's a full picture, and most people don't look at the whole thing. That's why I call the things that I do, I call my 5 puzzle pieces of happiness, because it's how I broke down the different things that were absolutely crucial for me to get decertified as having a serious mental illness in the middle of a global pandemic. Yay, Amanda. So proud of that. But
yeah,
it was the exact steps I took to do that. And I share that for free with anyone who is interested in learning about those steps. If you go to happinessboost.life, you can take my free 5-day challenge, and I teach those puzzle pieces to everyone, because I think that at least having the framework, if nothing else, is so helpful to taking that next step.
Yeah, there's a saying I like: you can't think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking. And what you're doing with your food and your movement, that will help it, help make it easier for you to change your thoughts and to change your habits. But without all those good supporting lifestyle habits, trying to change your thoughts and your emotions, all those energies that are stuck in your body, they're just going to stay there.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that things are in flow outside, so it helps make things on the inside flow more easily as well.
Exactly. And the quote that you had taken off my website, a lot of people don't really realize the word disease. Dis-ease. Your body is in a state of dis-ease because you're not treating it like it needs to be treated. So it is in a state of discomfort, disease. And it's kind of like depression. If you break it down, it's deep rest. You're needing rest. And instead of telling yourself that you're being lazy or telling yourself that you just don't do enough, you should be asking yourself, why is my body needing rest so much?
Yeah, I think I researched the sort of ancestral reason behind depression, and it does seem to be to make people sort of rest more, relax. And it's mainly based around inflammation. A lot of people think it's purely a mental thing, but it's both mental and physical. It's your body that's kind of on fire, and it wants you to sort of slow down so it can calm down and put that fire out.
It's funny how people always differentiate physical and mental. Like, our brain isn't part of our bodies. Last I checked, my brain is in my head, which is attached to my body, but we think of it as something so separate, and we're just not making that connection that there is a give and take there, that if the things you're putting into your mind are toxic and negative, that's going to affect your body. If the things you're putting into your body are toxic and negative, that's going to affect your mind. It's a two-way street. Yeah. And we have to be very cognizant of that.
I mean, there's a Chinese proverb when it comes to eating food. It's like something along the lines of, it's better to eat the wrong food with the right attitude than the right food with the wrong one.
Exactly. I am a firm believer in that, because if nothing else, if you're eating healthy food and you're stressed out, really stressed out to the point of where you're having those symptoms of anxiety and stuff, you're not going to digest your food properly. So your gut isn't even going to be getting the nutrients from that food.
Yeah, so true. If you're in a stressed state, that awesome organic pasture-raised whatever food, you
monk
won't be
blessed.
Yeah, you won't be absorbing many of those nutrients. But if you're in a blessed state and you're eating some fast food, you would actually extract all the good stuff from it, even though there's not hardly anything in there. Well, whatever it is in there, you will extract. So it does come down to being both mentally and physically ready and still. That's why prayer. That's why we have prayer, to slow down, take a pause, have some gratitude, so put your body in that relaxed state so it can absorb what you're about to eat.
I'm not even a believer, and I have a very good understanding of how that is important and how that can help. As you said, just giving that gratitude and being able to eat the food from that perspective. Actually, this is funny. Sometimes when I'm feeling just bleh, I think about the fact, I go into my kitchen and I open my spice cabinet, and I think about the fact that 100 years ago, I would be considered royalty for all the spices that I have in my cabinet. Think about that for a second. 100 years ago, little ordinary people like me didn't have 30 different spices. That wasn't a thing. And to just have that perspective really helps me connect with that state of gratitude. But on the conversation of absorption, everybody has always heard the you are what you eat, but that's not true. You are what you absorb. If you're not absorbing it, then it doesn't really, as you said, matter what you're eating. So I always tell people, it's not that you are what you eat, you are what you absorb.
Yeah, you are. Well, it goes deep. It's whatever you ate, whatever that absorbed, you absorb.
That is why I'm vegan.
So I've got, in one of your videos, you said something that stood out to me. You said the world is comprised of individuals and choices. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think that it's hard sometimes, even for me, to look at everything in a kind of compartmentalized way. Because when we think about the state of the world, especially now, we think of all these atrocities that are going on, right? If I said, describe the state of the world right now, the first thing most people are going to talk about is the Ukraine, then it's going to be COVID. Nobody's going to be talking about the fact that our mortality rate is actually at an all-time low. There are less people in poverty now than ever in human history. We have all these things going in the right direction, but that's not what we're focused on. So if we look at things on an individual level, and the fact that each individual is comprised of their choices, that's what our personality is it's a compilation of the choices we've made. That's what our body is a compilation of the choices us or our ancestors have made somewhere along the line. But when we look at it in that aspect, we can start connecting more to the humanity. And we can start seeing, as you were talking about in the very beginning, that each person is still connected to us in some way, that each person isn't as different as we want to believe that they are.
Yeah. Something about, that's why I like doing meditation. When you sit with yourself, you get a sort of realization that there's more to you than this thing that you see in the mirror, and that's just you. And if you can get that there's more to you than what you see in the mirror, maybe there's more to others around you than what you see with your eyes and hear with your ears and all that stuff. Like, your senses can sort of blind you to the truth,
yeah,
of what's really in front of you.
If you think about the fact that what people share with social media or with other people is only this tiny, tiny, probably less 1% of what is actually going on in their mind, in their outer world, no matter how close you are to someone, even if it's your child, your partner, your best friend, no matter how close you are to someone, you don't know all their thoughts. You don't know all their intentions. You don't even know all their actions. There's so much to each person that we don't know. And some people kind of consider it a curse with me, because I can look at these depraved people, and of course I think the actions they're taking are abominable, but at the same time I can kind of start breaking it down and think, but what led to this? This was a culmination of choices somewhere along the line that created this, fanned this flame. For example, I had there was a girl in my class in college, and she actually grew up with one of the terrorists from the 9/11 attacks. And she said, growing up, he was this very personable, happy, social guy that happened to fall into the wrong crowd later in life. It had nothing to do with him in that case. It had everything to do with he was exposed to the wrong people with the wrong ideas and made the wrong choices. And that was so eye-opening for me, because I thought, wow, this person was a culmination of choices. Even if you think about Hitler, when he was younger, he wanted to go to art school. Now think about if Adolf Hitler would have got to go to art school. How would that have changed history?
It's so weird. I was just thinking of that. You know, there's the question, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? No, I wouldn't kill a baby.
Right?
Because he's not Hitler.
No, because it was a culmination of things that made him the way he was. And are some people more susceptible to psychopathic or sociopathic traits? Absolutely. But there are people that live with psychopathic or sociopathic traits. I actually have a close friend who is a sociopath, has been diagnosed with sociopathic traits. But he is a very nice, giving person who's never hurt anyone, wouldn't even say anything nasty to anyone. He knows how to control what his urges and stuff are. I don't know his exact diagnoses, but he does have sociopathic traits, and he has learned in a way to manage those the best he can. And he knows that he still has them, and he knows he's going to live with them, but he's made choices that allow him to live with them without hurting other people.
Yeah, that's one of the things I do when it comes, like, whenever I hear news of there's been an attack, you got all these victims and there's this bad person, my first thought is that bad person is actually a victim themselves. Like, for me, and when you think of holistic health and functional medicine, it's all about getting to the root cause. And when I hear about that, I just look at that person and go, what's the root cause for them doing what they're doing. I'm not condoning it or anything. I just want to understand and find out.
Well, I was massively judged by several people in my life because I started reading Mein Kampf because I wanted to understand what made Hitler Hitler. I wanted to understand where he was coming from. And it's tragic to me that that book is banned in so many countries because people don't trust their citizens to be able to read it and not suddenly wake up and be a Nazi. Like, you got this nice elderly little grandma here that's going to read Mein Kampf and become a Nazi. Really? I understand that they're trying to be... they're trying to be proactive about preventing this kind of thing. But I think for the
best way to prevent something is to educate
understand
people,
it.
Not
exactly.
Hide things. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that by being able to understand Hitler on a deeper level, then that is the real way to prevention so that we can see the red flags in the future when other people start exhibiting these same traits. We can see that and go, oh, I see where this is going. And we've been down this road. And we don't want to go down this road again.
Yeah. And when you say understanding and with a sort of empathy, what we're talking about is compassion.
Yeah. It was debated whether or not Hitler had bipolar disorder. I don't know if it was ever confirmed, but Hitler had a lot of the traits of someone living with bipolar disorder, and he did have quite a few mental health conditions going on. And again, instead of finding a healthy way to manage them, chose to go the route he did. But again, there's distortion going on in the mind. In Hitler's mind, he thought he was doing the right thing. Just like when I was on that ledge, I thought that jumping and leaving my son without a mother was the right thing to do at the time because my brain was distorted with that depression.
Yeah. And light is the best disinfectant. So if he had a better crew around him, a more honest crew, and he said the things that he said, and then someone heard that and thought, wait a minute, maybe it's this way. So I don't know if he had anyone around him to say otherwise, to give the counter position. And when you were on that ledge and the song came along, that song was your counterposition. It was like, hey, over here. You know? So that was your truth. Truth is just something that comes up against your ideas and beliefs and it challenges you. That's why I like the work from Byron Katie, the work. It's about inquiring, self-inquiring, questions, always questioning what's going on.
Yeah. And I think that if more of us did that instead of just going with the flow, because you know what I say, only dead fish go with the flow. But it just seems that we all have to jump on some kind of bandwagon, and then we fall into the bandwagon fallacy that, well, because everyone else is doing it, then it must be okay. That doesn't really advance us personally or as a species.
Yeah, or if you're going to go with the flow or jump on a bandwagon, be very present to what's happening inside so you can check whether this is the flow or the bandwagon you want to stay in or be on. You know?
Right.
Don't just go on it blindly and follow and follow and follow. There's too many sheep out there. We need more wolves, more leaders. There's a lot of people that aren't taking responsibility for their own life.
It's funny that you say that because on my Patreon, I call it my wolf pack. So when you sign up on my Patreon, it's to different wolf tiers. It's like wolf, cub, alpha, omega.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even know about that. Awesome. Great. Now, I was looking at one of your videos about you got divorced and you were talking about survival mode. What would you say is the opposite of survival mode? I was trying to come up with something myself, like thriving mode, maybe?
Yeah, really. Yeah. I think that there's times to be in survival mode, and we say it like it's a negative thing, you know? But after my divorce, I did the best I could with what I had at the time. And fortunately, I had the skills to keep myself as healthy as possible. And yes, I indulged a little bit more than normal on certain things. This is going to sound crazy, but there's a channel on YouTube called Kill Count. And I was just so angry, and I had to have a way to process that. So I started watching some of those videos just to cope with the anger, and it didn't incite violent thoughts or anything. It just gave a kind of playground for my shadow, I suppose. It gave it a place to channel. And I think, once you get past the survival mode, then you can start thriving. So it is kind of thriving mode. You can start getting into a groove again. You can start doing more than just hanging on. Because there is a point when you go through a big life event or a traumatic event where all you're doing is just holding on for dear life I was like that when my parents died, especially my mom, because she was second with my dad and then my mom. And when she passed away, it was just that I will literally do anything to not die right now. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's self-harm. I don't care what I eat. I don't care what I do. I need to not die. That was my only priority, and preferably not be homeless. And it took me years, because of all these vices that I was turning to, it took me years to get to a point where I realized, okay, this is awful and I hate this and I don't want to be here without my mom. But if I had lost my life to suicide, if say my dad passed, my mom passed, and then I lost my life to suicide right after, there would have been no one else to share their love with the world at this point. There would have been nobody else to share their wisdom, nobody else to keep their energy alive in that way, to keep their memories alive. And I finally, when my grief took that shift and it went from this survival to this, okay, how can I really share their energy, their wisdom, their love with the world? And that was a huge moment for me. But when you come out of survival mode, there is this mindset shift that all of a sudden it's, oh, okay. It's not, I'm getting up every morning going, oh my God, I can't do this again. You get up every morning and you know there's going to be challenges and you know there's going to be obstacles, but I think of it more now like a video game. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but I get up and I think, okay, today I'm going to have challenges. I'm going to have things I have to do, but who do I need to talk to? Like, what townspeople do I need to go talk to? What items do I need to collect? What skills do I need to learn? And
I love that.
Yeah. Once I had that mindset shift, it literally took me from survival mode of getting up going, how am I going to get through this day, to what do I get to do today?
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a piece of advice that I hear time and time again. And that's something I actually give as well, is to be of service to others. So when you're talking about your parents, their energies and their memories, and for me as well, it's like, yeah, I'm doing this more for than just me. Like, life isn't just about me, it's about others as well. And maybe in the West, we're a bit self-centric, not self-responsible, just self-centric, and others can take responsibility of myself, which is not how it's meant to be. But yeah, that's so true. Without us here, the people who have gone will definitely be gone, because as long as we remember them and we can act out the things that they've taught us and share what they've taught us and their energies, yeah, they're never gone, truly.
That passes on, you know, and it doesn't take making a YouTube channel, although now, you know, I have made these ripples and I started seeing them recently when the people that I'd helped started reaching out and helping other people on the channel. So I had these people that had come onto my channel, which I am really adamant about making it a community where people can come and they can share their mental health stories without judgment. They have a safe place there. That's what I'm all about. And I read every single comment. I interact with every single comment in some way or another. And I'm very adamant about doing that. But there were people that came 6 months ago, a year ago, and they were at the brink of suicide. And because of the community and because of the content, they were able to start healing. And then once they healed, they turned around and started offering that to other people in the community. So now we have this whole community of people that are guiding and helping each other. And I have another huge project underway. It's where all my Patreon funds are going right now, that I really genuinely believe is going to make a huge difference in the mental health world, because I think that the one thing that's really missing the most. So we're doing really good moving forward with telling people it's okay to get help. And a lot of people now are saying, okay. And I think that therapy, medication can be great tools, but I think that the part that's missing is the validation, the encouragement of people who've been there and got through it, because most therapists are telling you what they've read in a book. Psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, they're all trained, and most of them have never experienced it. So this new project is going to fill in that gap. So not only is it going to allow people to share their story, but it's going to allow them to connect with other people so that they can get validation and encouragement and have a community based on their mental health needs.
Yeah, no, that's great. Environment is everything. And what came up to me there was when you were talking about medicine and therapy are tools. I mean, you know, you do need that support after you've taken the medicine and after you've seen the therapist. I was having this conversation the other day with someone about the rites of passages for teenagers, but then where's the support after that? Like, so we need that to keep going weekly gatherings, checking in, non-judgmental, so that those rites of passages and anything that someone learns continues to be integrated and grown and expanded. But yeah, it's environment's key.
Yeah. And it goes back to that, what do we have power over? You know, therapy, medication, that stuff is external. And again, they can be wonderful for some people, and other people they just don't resonate with. And we've got to a point where we don't even offer other options. We don't even tell people about the connection with what you eat and how that's going to appear on a mental health level. We don't educate people about things like this. So they're constantly looking for some kind of external fix, whether it's the therapist or the medication or the self-help book. The truth is once you get those puzzle pieces in order, then if you are going to go the therapy and medication route, it's going to make it more effective. So if you're doing the work in yourself, that's going to make your therapy and your medication more effective.
Yeah, there's a saying, pray, then move your feet. So
yes,
it's fine to get, you know, outside support, but you also got to do the work yourself.
I think that is another huge misconception people have, whether it is in regards to prayer or in regards to law of attraction and the universal energy, however you want to look at it, is people think, okay, I'm going to pray to God, or I'm going to manifest this perfect life. Well, you can pray until you're hoarse. You can sit there and meditate and manifest all day long, but the precursor to action is that intent. So you have to have the intent and then the action.
Yeah, it's so true.
There has to be action. It has to be both. You have to believe that it's possible. Because if you go into therapy thinking, oh my God, this is stupid, nothing good's going to come out of it, and this isn't going to work, it's probably not. You're right. It's probably not, because you're not being open-minded and trying these new skills that that your professional is going to introduce you to. But on the same time, if you're just sitting there meditating, going, okay, I'm going to heal myself and I'm healed and my mental health is perfect, but then you're not doing anything about it and you're making all these choices outside of that that aren't in line with that and that aren't on that same frequency, then it's not going to come into manifestation. And that's, I hear people complain a lot about, why am I not able to manifest what I want? Law of attraction's BS. And no, you just don't know how to use it. It's kind of like, I remember the movie Yes Man, when the guy was saying at the end, the doctor was saying, or the man was saying, it's just that you don't know how to use the power of yes. It's not that it's not effective. It backfired because you weren't using it properly.
Yeah, to me, intention is the same as being conscious, being mindful, being aware, paying attention. So humans have, it's easy for us to see the negative in things, but when you come in with an intention that's positive, when your consciousness is tilted toward the positive, yeah, there might be something negative happening out there, but you're still staying on track to your positive goal. And without that goal, without that orientation, that intention, it's easy for you to get pulled off that track.
Yep.
I want to get one awesome vegan dish from you. What's one of the things you go to that helps you mentally, physically, emotionally?
I have a really awesome Alfredo that I was going to post actually over on my YouTube community, because I wanted to start posting more recipes and stuff. I've been getting a lot of requests for that. And I'm going to be adding some video sneak peek. I'm adding a lot of content next month. I actually have a challenge that I'm going to release content every month of May for Mental Health Awareness Month. And I want to include some recipes, but it's this really good vegan Alfredo, and the sauce is hemp seed based, which sounds absolutely gross. And I was very kind of on the fence about it when I first tried it, but it gives it that creamy texture. Okay. So when you put it in a blender, it gives it that creamy texture, and hemp seeds have a lot of heart health benefits, things like that. I do have a couple heart issues that I need to be conscientious about. So garlic, hemp seeds, things like that are really good in managing that. And it is really delicious. And I have let several of my non-vegan meat-loving friends try it, and they are completely addicted. So I think I can consider that a win.
Are you a fan of juices and smoothies?
I am. I usually do either a smoothie or a salad every day for lunch. Yeah. That's how I pack in a lot of nutrients. Juicing, I feel I'm torn about it. I do have juices. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like if you were like too much on juices, then it's taking out some of the nutrients that are in the skin and stuff. And obviously juicing can increase the sugar content, which at least it's not processed sugar. It does process differently in the body. I do get that, but I do still try to be somewhat conscientious about even natural sugar intake, simply because even with natural sugar, I can start feeling my energy get a little wonky if I have too much. But if I have processed sugar, I will have a full blown panic attack in a piece of pie. Sometimes I don't eat a lot of processed sugar anymore because it's not conducive for anxiety symptoms, for sure.
Yeah, it is better to take the juice over the can of Coke, but at the same time you want to reduce that liquid sugar intake.
Right, absolutely, because if nothing else, I mean, I am very much calories in, calories out type person, and when you have 30 pieces of fruit in a cup, you don't realize that that's actually gonna jack up your calories and your sugar pretty quickly. A glass of orange juice can be several hundred calories just on a small glass. So if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to keep your sugar in check and stuff, constantly chugging any sugar beverage, whether fruit or soda, can still lead to certain issues.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Great conversation. Thank you for sharing your story. Where can people join up with you, find out more about you? You were talking about a happiness boost.
Yeah. Program. So yeah, that is where I teach the five puzzle pieces of happiness that got me to the point from the point of being on that ledge, completely hopeless. I can't do this anymore. Everyone's better off without me. I'm a burden, to getting decertified as having a serious mental illness again in the middle of the global pandemic and being able to live a fulfilling, happy life. So if you go to happinessboost.life, you can sign up for my free 5-day challenge. I will jump into your inbox every day for 5 days with tips. And there's a recipe for pie in there. Everybody loves pie. So there's a recipe for pie. You get to make pie on one of the days, and there's a dance party. So you get to have a dance party on one of the days. But if you're just looking for community and you're looking to connect with other people, some who are struggling, some who are on the other side of that, my channel is youtube.com/mentalamanda. And there's just so much content from the song reactions that have encouraged a lot of conversation about mental health and helped people open up, to the vlogs, such as my divorce, my miscarriage, things like that, where I share very candidly the things that I went through and what I learned. And sometimes it's just, here I am breaking down in a bathtub. That was my day of getting divorced, was literally just me crying in a bathtub, talking about how I felt, because so often, again, we only show the highlight reels to people and they're not seeing the behind the scenes. And I think if we're having a mental health conversation, it's important that people are seeing everything. So there's definitely something there for everybody. And like I said, sneak peek, I'm going to be posting more nutrition related stuff and yoga related stuff next month for Mental Health Awareness Month and ongoing, but I haven't told anyone about that yet. So
oh, that's great. Well, thanks for your authenticity and vulnerability on the outside. It just shows me how strong you are on the inside, Amanda. So that's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
See ya. Bye. And that was Amanda Webster, all the way from the US of A. Her website is amandawebsterhealth.com, where you'll find her happiness boost challenge and her YouTube channel, Mental Amanda. Thank you again, Amanda, for coming on and sharing your journey from darkness to light. And it's a journey that we are all on. And in every moment, we get to choose to move toward the light and away from the dark. And I hope that whoever's listening, you have the courage, the strength, the conviction, and the community to help you move toward that loving light in your life. Until next time, stay free, be you, and know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.